CFRC's annual funding drive campaign is now underway through December 31st. Help us raise $25,000 to support our local arts and artists and keep our community informed with local news, concerts, and event listings on air and on our website. Visit CFRC.ca today and make your gift to Kingston's longest-running broadcaster serving our community since 1922. Get a tax receipt via Queen's University or get sweet CFRC swag and enter to win our raffle draws featuring gifts from amazing local donors. For every $5 donated, you get one more chance to win. Thank you for your support.
Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the yellow brick road. Follow the Yellow Brick Road each week on Sundays from 8 to 9 p.m., and I've got a show for you. Tune in to get your weekly fix of British music, culture, and lots of fun. I'll see you there. Ta-ra!
In my Mersey paradise.
Hi, I'm Brian from the Lemon Twigs.
This is Michael from the Lemon Twigs.
Hi, I'm Michael from the Lemon Twigs, and this is CFRC Radio.
Okay, we're here on the Yellow Brick Road, and over the last couple of weeks, we've been recapping sort of the best of 2025, whether that's music, bands, new artists, shows that we've been to, and I can't do this alone, so my friends have been joining me on the show, and Gazelle's joining me today. Hey, Gazelle. Hello.
So happy to be here.
We met over a Fontaine's DC show. It was literally not in the same city. It was not in the same time zone. It was not in the same part of the country. But it was a Fontaine's DC show, and turns out that was enough.
So true. The power of Fontaine's DC to bring people together. So truly, beautiful.
We just found this out right now, because I feel like once we started talking about Fontaine's and we found out that we had other bands in common too, it's just been going since then, and both of us forgot where this began.
So true. Yeah, I had to do a hefty scroll back through the DM history to remember what started it all. But yeah, no. Yeah, we love to chit-chat. It's true.
So that was how we met. And I think that show was also this year. So I'm going to ask you, how was your 2025 in music?
It's a great question. 2025 was a very, very funky, cool new year for music for me. I thought 2024 was like the pop icons were going. Obviously, there was Brad. This year, a little bit more indie for me, a little bit more, obviously, got a little bit of Cameron Geese, a little bit of Cameron Geese, Cameron Winter, Cameron Geese, a little bit of Geese. A little bit of CMAT, a lot of CMAT, actually. And yeah, I think my top artists this year were obviously Declan McKenna, always holds a number one position. CMAT, Annie DeRusso, Pavement, really big band for me this year. No new releases this year, but yeah, it's been a good year. It's been gotten into the Beatles more, seen like, I think I've been to 20 shows this year. Which is not too bad, not too shabby. I think compared to the amount of shows you've been to, not that much. But enough to make a large dent in my wallet. but worth it. But so worth it. So I haven't seen Pavement live. I did go see, they have like a like semi-fictional, semi-real biopic / mockumentary / documentary called Pavement, I think.
Yeah,
and so that was great, and I got to see a lot of like local Vancouver bands play Pavement songs live, which was awesome. But yeah, I'm rooting for that Pavement tour. Like, they're back together. Come on
guys,
let's get going.
Because I know they've done a few European tours in the last couple of years, so they've got to come back.
Yeah, and they've played at a couple festivals. I think they might have some festivals still like on the roster. So hopefully a little North America tour, little cheeky North America tour coming to Vancouver, maybe. I might even cross the border to see them, maybe. That sounds a little scary. But
big
for Pavement. Big commitment. We'll see. Or I'll just fly to Toronto, like I did for CMAT. So.
Oh, well, we've got to talk about that CMAT show. But are there any other, like, notable shows before we get into one of our favorite shows of this year?
Oh, great question. I mean, okay, obviously, Fontaine's DC, very notable show. I saw them at the Commodore Ballroom in Vancouver. Best show of my life. I think about it all the time. Every day I am sad because I'm not there. Literally the best time ever. I just have no words for that show. I saw Annie DeRusso in concert this year, who's my icon. And that show was amazing because I was lucky enough to be able to get the VIP experience. So, which basically meant that she did like a sound check with us. Basically sat in a room and she like did like played us song requests and like answered our questions, which was awesome. And she's just like such a good live performer. She's the best. I also got to see an Australian like garage rock band called Girl and Girl. So good, highly recommend. They're not huge in North America. I saw them originally opening for Royal Otis, but they're great. I also got to see The Dare. Oh my god, The Dare at Deer Lake Park. I completely forgot about that. I forget that happened because I think it was such an out of body experience because I absolutely lost my mind when I saw
how
him,
was the dare?
That was great. Oh, so good. So it was a boiler room set. And so there were a bunch of different like other DJ stuff, things happening like before him. And my friend and I went and we thought that he would just do like a DJ set because he's done boiler room sets before and they've just been DJ sets. And like we wanted to see him like play his music live, but we didn't think that was gonna happen. We were fine with that. And then he comes, they like start setting up the stage and they're like putting a microphone on the stage. We're not seeing like a DJ like table or, you know, or anything, a turntable anywhere. We're like, wait, what's happening? And then he comes on stage and he starts like singing his music. Oh my God, it was so good. And it was so, the venue, Deer Lake Park, it's like this huge park, the first outdoor venue I've been to, and it overlooks Deer Lake, and the sun was setting, and it was so good. Oh, and wow.
An outdoor, it was supposed to be an outdoor thing, too.
Yes, it was so cool. I don't know if you know about Frost Children. They're also, like, kind of up and coming, I think, in, like, the kind of that kind of type of music, but they played earlier. Yeah, no, I love, like, I never thought that I would go to like a DJ set or like a boiler room set outside in the sunlight, but that was great. I was a sweating mess, but that was mostly because of just how much dancing and like thrashing around I was doing for the Dare set, but who can blame me?
Truly.
But yeah.
And I feel like I feel like he knows how to bring the energy too, because from what I remember, he was in like a live indie rock band before he just threw everything into being The Dare.
Yeah. Oh, he has like something about him. Like you see photos of him and you're like, who is this like English looking, like frail little like Victorian man with like a suit? Like why like and why does he sound like that? But then you see him on stage and he has just this like charisma and like allure that's like, it's indescribable. But that stage presence, he puts on a show. Got to see, and yeah, just so many other shows. Got to see MJ Lenderman, got to see Magdalena Bay, which was like insane. Wonder Horse, so good.
Wonder Horse, Wonder Horse was supposed to do Oceaga last year, year, and then they ended up canceling the day before, the night before they pulled out.
Damn, that's
Yeah, we were in back and forth to be interviewing them on site as well, like Jacob at least. And so then they also emailed and they were like, any chance of an interview is off.
Aw, that sucks. Hopefully next time.
Yeah, it's like a bit of a health scare thing with him. So and it was like teeth as well, which like you can't sing with that. So you really just can't, like there's no way around it.
Right. That's so true. It happened with Fontaine's DC. It happened with Wonder Horse. Like
Happened with
the amount of
Seamath.
health issues that's happened with Seamath. That's so true. Like there's always, touring is just like really hard. And I feel like there's always just like so many issues that happen. Oh, I was supposed to see Lucy Dacus in August, and then she got COVID or got sick or
No.
something and didn't come. But such is life. It happens.
And that's
It
also just
yeah.
how I feel touring is in 2025. Like with Sam Fender as well, I feel like some people were talking about like how he's sort of had a bit of a North American curse on shows, where a lot of times he'll end up like having to cancel a few shows here and there because of health issues and stuff. And while we're talking about the bigger trends of music, there've been a lot more. I guess it's good that people aren't pushing themselves when they really should not be. Like musicians too, their health should come first, and like whether
For
that's physical
sure.
health, mental health, I'm glad that they're like not just kind of putting on a like fixing on a fake smile and going out there and performing while they feel like throwing up or feel absolutely awful.
No, that's so true. Yeah, definitely health first. It obviously, like, it does suck when a musician you like cancels a show, but most of them like try to reschedule. Oh my gosh, there was also the whole like Kneecap thing. Was supposed to
Yeah.
see Kneecap in the fall, and then, I don't know if they actually got banned from Canada or if it was just that one MP that was like decided to. That was so weird. But hopefully, I think they've talked about coming back, so hopefully that'll be happening
Yeah.
soon.
They've talked about coming back, and they're also suing that MP at the moment, Vince
Really?
Gasparro. They're suing
Oh
him
yeah.
because they said he really didn't have any rights to ban them.
Good. Yeah, no, he literally didn't. I was so confused. It was just one guy talking about it. It's like, who gave him the authority to ban Kneecap from
Exactly.
Canada? But yeah, good. I'm glad they're suing him.
So we'll see them
I'm
next year.
Yes. Oh, I was so excited for that show, but it's gonna be even better. It's gonna be so good.
It was a
See, that
similar
crowd
thing
is
with
gonna
Bob
be.
Villain, actually. They were supposed to open for Grandson this year.
Damn.
And then they got banned from the US. So they just weren't able to make the whole tour.
I'm also like with the US, I'm a bit I know like touring musicians are probably fine like ice wise and stuff, but I'm always a little bit worried right now because they check Instagrams, like it's a whole thing, but there's some
I
musicians
also
that are very outspoken and going to the US and I'm a little worried.
Remember Bells Larson was talking about this earlier this year because, like, I think it was something like they were told to like change their gender on their passport or something when applying from Canada for like a US visa. So they just decided not to do the tour at all.
Yeah. That's so true. Yeah. Which, yeah, it's just not safe for a lot of people in the US right now. But.
Yeah, that's touring in 2025, wasn't it?
Oh, so true. Yeah, so true.
My voice might get deep. I might bruise my ears. My voice might get deep. I might bruise my might get deep.
Eurocountry.
Oh, Eurocountry. Eurocountry came out in August. Absolute masterpiece of an album. Best album of the year, in my opinion. I mean, C-Mat, I love her entire discography, but this is, like, I think objectively her best one yet. Everything about it is perfect, in my opinion.
Musically, it was a bit of a step up, right? I feel like she changed her sound a little bit. Like, she's always been a sort of indie pop country musician. Mainly, she's called herself a country musician, even though, like, I've always found a bit of indie rock in her sound and stuff like
that. Yeah. I just call her country without the O.
That's really good. I feel like she needs to steal that.
So true. I think she has a baseball cap that says country and it just doesn't have an O. So I think I think she needs to make merch with that or something because I would buy that so fast. But compared to her past albums, like still like there's glimpses of country. But it's how she describes it. Like, Euro country has several meanings to her. And it's, like, one of them is, like, how she describes the genre that she fits in. And then also, like, because the album is about, I guess, like, Ireland. And yeah, I like to think third meaning is the country without the O, in my opinion. Yes.
Yeah, and there's some country sound on it for sure, like 365 and stuff.
Yes. Oh, love that song. It's like more mature than her other albums. Like she just, she's grown so much. And like the topics that she tackles, obviously, like this one is largely about her identity, like as an Irish person. And then there's Lord Let That Tesla Crash, which is just, I think probably... in my top three songs off the album, it's really hard to pick a favorite because, like, all of them are so good. But that one, like, the storytelling abilities that she has, like, and the, oh, she's just, she can make hits and she can also make just, like, really, like, oh, ones that just really, like.
Wrenching, so crushing. Because the thing with a song with a name like Lord Let That Tesla Crash, especially in, like, the current climate, you would think it would be a lot more kind of a tongue-in-cheek or like a kind of vengeful song, but then you listen to it and it's like this heartbreaking story of like someone who she's still clearly conflicted about, and she's like, you know, I'm glad that I left and they weren't like a great person and all that stuff, but and it still hurts to think of them and all that kind of thing. But like those memories are still there and she still kind of loves them and stuff.
Yeah, so true. And like, I think that one was based on, I think she had a friend that she lived with for a period of time who died. And so, yeah, no, it's just like so gut-wrenching. And she can't even perform it live. She tried once and she couldn't get through the whole thing because it was like so upsetting. But I'm like, okay, I think it's so sad. And yes, do I cry basically every time I listen to the song? Maybe, but I'm also always listening to it. I just love that song. Do you have like a top three off the album?
Off the album? Well,
I know it's hard.
Running Planning was the first one that just like grabbed me, and that's when I knew the album was going to be something special. I think before I decide a top three, also I want to give like some honorable shouts just to the number of songs on this album where C-Mat has like talked about feeling a little bit out of date. Because, like, especially pop music is such a young person's game that by the time, like, she's, I think, 1997 or something like that. So she'd be, like...
Yeah, I think she's 29 or 30 now.
Yeah, something like that. And, like, on a number of songs, like, on Take a Sexy Picture of Me, she's kind of talking about feeling like after you turn 27, in the kind of public eye... in the media and stuff, you can really just feel like you're really old stuff already. And like, you know, the kind of the world doesn't look at you the same once you turn 27 and all that.
Yeah.
And then there's a bit on like Ready as well, where she's like, I feel like I'm late to stuff and now I'm ready, but the world's moved on. And there's a bit on Coronation Street also about like kind of, you know, already being past everything. And I just feel like, I need more pop girlies to say that like life isn't over after 28 or whatever.
Yes, that is so true.
And then Eurocountry, and I don't know if this is maybe the kneecap effect, but there's so many more artists from Ireland who've now been embracing like singing in Irish. Like it was the Fontaines album Skinty Fia, obviously, but then like the opening track from that too, In Agriha Godeo. and like a little bit of Irish here and there. She's also opened Euro Country with like this free time Irish hymn, I think is what it is. And it's just like, yeah, man, go do that. Go do this really accessible and catchy pop album and throw in the Irish language in there. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. We need that.
Yeah, especially that is like the title track of the album. Having that like Irish identity like deeply embedded in the lyrics is like so, so good. It does make it hard to do karaoke for that song, but I can figure it out. I can learn Irish. It's okay.
Yeah. If there's one thing, like I saw Kneecap last year before Coachella, obviously, it was like 650 people. Again, this is a show so small, it'll never happen again. But I was in there and then they start performing and all around me, you've got like 600 Canadians singing every word in Irish or rapping every word or shouting every word in Irish. So I just feel like between them and Fontaines and now CMAT as well, I just feel like it's not unusual to have this like very small language from a very small nation of people just out there, like in the charts, in pop music, in rap music, in post-punk music, doing all that kind of stuff.
It's amazing to see like them like basically reclaiming their like indigenous language that's been like stolen from them in history, like
hundreds of years.
And I'm happy that more musicians are like, it's becoming like way more mainstream. That's awesome.
Show because like what an entry CMAT made. Oh my god.
Yeah, I knew like I had been lurking on, you know, CMAT concert post before our show. And so I knew that she was going to like appear somewhere like that wasn't the stage and start with Janis Joplin-ing, but it was still like such a surprise when she was like on the balcony. I was like, oh my god, I love that she does that. And I love that I think like when she gets bigger, it'll be harder to do that. Harder to just be in the crowd. Exactly. And like right now, what I also really appreciate, like during when she does stay for something, like she'll go into the pit and like, you know, jump around with everyone and stuff. And I love that. She has like a, like she's very connected with the fans at her shows. And like, yeah, I'm hoping that that can continue as she gets bigger. I'm not sure how it is that like when she's playing like actual arenas, like in, she played like the Three Arena in Dublin. I'm sure like she didn't do as much of that. But I hope that she like will be able to like keep that kind of like interactive element.
Yeah, hopefully. I love that her shows at the moment are like her stage show is halfway between something that would work really well in an intimate setting where she's like mm-hmm. up on the barricade and like singing with the crowd and like people are giving her gifts and all that stuff, or she's coming mm-hmm. down on like from the balcony in the middle of the crowd or jumping in the crowd because her songs have that much energy. But then also mm-hmm. like she's got the choreography and everything. She's got, I think now that she's doing Europe, her stage show has like her productions evolved a bit. So she's got like a CMAT logo behind her. And like mm-hmm. it's getting bigger and to the point where you should be able to see it clearly if you're standing at the back of like an arena with 12,000 people, as Dream Arena is. And like stuff like that, it keeps growing and growing. But I feel like her show, her stage kind of set has the ability to pull both things off because you can still totally. See her and the band like doing their choreography.
Yes. Yeah. And her stage presence, like she can fill up a big stage so well. She just has like such charisma and personality and pizzazz and like, yeah, no, she could play stadiums and it would be like such a good experience. So good. And her band, I'm obsessed with her band, by the way.
The shout out to the very sexy
CMAP band. Yes.
Her whole band has so much swag, so much charisma. True. They mm-hmm. are all like out there serving. And what I love is that, like, I think because she was asked about this in like a couple of interviews, being like, why do you think it works and all that? And she basically said that it's because her band believes in it as much as she believes in it. Like, they're all there giving their 100%.
Yeah, exactly. Like, CMAT is not a band. Seeing her live like that, you're watching the bit, if that makes sense.
I also love that, like, she's able to keep up so much energy while she's running around, jumping, and hitting such high notes. Like, she does not fall off.
Yeah! Completely, like, raw vocals. Like, she's just that good. And yet, to be able to, like, prance around on a stage and, like, run around and do whatever while, like...
In her high heels?
And she has some... Yeah! And she has some, like, really, really hard-to-sing, very high-pitched songs happening. And she, like... So flawlessly. She does it so flawlessly. She's an icon.
She's an icon. And I feel like she's had one of the biggest years this year. Like, you and I watched her Glastonbury set.
Seeing her play for a crowd that big was so, so great. Like, she just, I've said it before, but she just deserves to be so, so huge. So I'm very excited for her future because it's only up from here. Mm-hmm. It's going to be great.
Mm-hmm. We loved her at the Mercury's as well. And I feel like this is such a CMAT vibe. Like, nobody else could have something like this. You know, everyone shows up on the red carpet with their kind of their custom designer jewelry and accessories and clothing. And CMAT mm-hmm. shows up and she has this like really sparkly yellow looking bag. And she's asked about it on the red carpet. And she was like, do you know who made this for me? This was, you know, sent to me by the Kerrygold Irish Butter guys.
Yeah. Oh, love. That's so iconic. By the way, her outfits at award shows are always top tier. I don't know if you remember her outfit.
That was the first time I heard of her.
That's so good. For those of you who don't know, she had her like full butt. It was so iconic. Like, it's from so the front, iconic. It seems like, right, from the front, it's like this like very like kind of like, you know, high neck, like long sleeves, like not revealing dress at all. And then you turn around and you're just getting some crack action. And I love that. There were a lot of people who had a major issue with it. But I love that she did that because, I mean, people always have issues with like bigger bodies, like doing anything like skinnier, like thinner, more, you know, bodies that follow the norms, the conventional norms, can kind of get away with more. But I love that she was like also doing that and looking amazing and serving and eating.
Absolutely. And I love her. I think she also pointed the very same thing out, and a lot of people mm-hmm. did too, that if she was like really skinny, then, you know, people would have been like, oh, that's just like a sexy look to have or whatever. It's like wearing, it's plunging or whatever. But it was, mm-hmm. I think, more of the kind of the backlash to it really just came from the fact that she's a less traditionally skinny pop star. And mm-hmm. I love that she then addressed that too on like Take a Sexy Picture of Me and all that stuff, you know?
Yeah, exactly. So she makes, I mean, this like indie rock kind of like poppy, like hooky, like kind of music. And I love her. I think, wait, you described her as, wait, Weezer, but like with like heartbreak or something. I don't know. Whatever you said.
Situationship heartbreak Weezer.
Yeah. And I love that. She, her stage presence also iconic. My favorite tracks off of Super Pedestrian are probably Ovid, if you've listened to that one, and I love Leo, and I love Back in Town, but you can't really go wrong with an Annie DeRusso song.
Back in Town, and like I feel like the singles really caught my attention, like Back in Town, Legs, and Muck,
Legs,
and stuff. Yeah,
I love. Oh my gosh, yes, Muck came out recently. Her deluxe album, Super Pedestrian, came out recently, and Muck is so good. Rotting Ripe is another song that was on the deluxe that I am a big fan of.
So I finally got on the Annie DeRusso like hype train and listened to the album today, and I just found that her songwriting just like. It's so clear in some ways. Like she articulates whatever's going on in her head so kind of plainly. And I know she's had like a bit of back and forth being like, how much of my personal life do I want to put into my music and stuff? But it's like, I don't even need to know kind of the names and the faces or any of that kind of stuff. It's just the way she puts it is so kind of captivating that I'm like, I'm there, I'm seated, I'm listening. I'm sympathizing with her in the bad situationship that she's stuck in and stuff.
Yes. Yeah. No, that is so well put. Yeah. She just like also has this knack for just like bangers and like, I don't know. I feel like just some of like the riffs that she has in her songs are so like addictive. Like I just, I love her music. And it's like, her songs like had this kind of like wonky underlying quality, if that makes sense. That I just love. I love her whole vibe. And she's also like my main fashion inspo all the time. She got me into wearing maxi skirts over pants. So I really can't thank Annie DeRusso enough for that. And I
Do you think you'll be going for like the Robin kind of look that she's had when she did her tiny desk with like the paint over her eyes?
Oh, I don't know if I could pull that off. I think I tried to do like a similar-ish thing. I did like very heavy eyeshadow when I went to see her in concert most recently. And like, I think I attempted. I don't know if I would do it again, but it looks so good on her, so I might. I'll just be an Annie DeRusso mini-me. She got micro bangs, I got micro bangs. Like, she started wearing, like, button-ups with, like, only the top button buttoned, and I was like, wow, that's so sick. I'm gonna do that. And, like, no, she's, like, integral to my fashion sense.
Obviously, we've been talking about, like, the heartbreak and the situationships and, like, the sort of the modern-day romance, if you will. But also, there's so much other stuff on it where she's just, like, talking about the fun stuff that she enjoys doing and all that stuff. And I feel like she's keeping the Courtney Barnett flame alive.
Yeah. That is so true. Yeah, no, you're so right. I never thought about it. Yeah, no, her song's like good ass movie and stuff. Like she just has like, whenever she plays it live, how she introduces it is she will start talking. She'll like, this is something I haven't told anyone before. She'll launch into this story that suspiciously mirrors the plot of School of Rock. And then as she talks more about it, it's so funny. Cause like she started talking about it at my show. I was like, wait, you were a teacher and you started teaching kids rock when you're supposed to be like teaching them math or something? Huh, interesting. I didn't know this Annie lore. And I was like, oh, wait. Oh.
Oh, okay. Didn't know you were Jack Black. Sorry, Annie.
Yeah. Yeah. I didn't know your game. I didn't know. Shout out Jack Black. But
how was she live?
so good live. Her voice, I mean, it sounds exactly like it does, like, in the recordings. Like, her voice is stunning, gorgeous. Her band always slaps. Oh my gosh. And she had this one person in her band who's also a solo musician who goes by the name of Book, not Brooke, who played the cello for Annie, like, on her Tiny Desk set, and it was so good. I would love a live cello next time Annie goes on tour. Complete side note, but about Book Not Brooke, she's been releasing music recently that has also been so good. I highly recommend. She has a song called Oh You Oh Yeah. But anyway, Annie DeRusso, live, so good. Her stage presence, so good.
So that's one of your shows of the year and one of your albums of the year.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, for sure. When you're back in town. When you're back, you're back. 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 I hope you don't think I'm just waiting around. But give me a call when you're back in town. Albums that have been happening this year. Actually, speaking of Annie DeRusso, she recently said that her album of the year was West End Girl by Lily Allen, which is one of my albums of the year as well. So, so good. It reminded me of, like, Brat in ways, just because of how, like, brutal and, like, honest the lyrics were. It's just great to see Lily Allen releasing, like, albums and stuff again. Like, it's been a while, so.
Yeah. I mean, in a year of comebacks, like, the fact that she's being talked about as one of the big comebacks of 2025, even though it was a year of, like, a bunch of people suddenly coming up and announcing that they're back, it was kind of the year of, like, the Oasis reunion and everything.
True.
And still, here we are, we're talking about Lily Allen's first album in 7 years. Because, like, if you've got to make a dent, that's how you come back, West End Girl. And, like... Yeah. It's such an album that nobody but Lily Allen could have made, because, like, she kind of, I feel like, comes from that indie sleaze period, right? Where it's like, you're kind of oversharing and it's almost tacky, but she does it with such, like, previously she's, like, done it with this kind of tongue in cheek, and you kind of, you know, it becomes fun. Like, it almost becomes fun to be sharing something that's so, like, personal and uncomfortable. But this time, I feel like she pulls back from kind of, like, there are still tongue-in-cheek kind of moments, and there are still a lot of dramatic moments in it. But I feel like she pulls back from the humor. And so you're like, oh, okay, Lily is not playing around on this one. And then it kind of punches you in the gut to just be like, oh, we're just getting the full details. And, you know, she said some of it is kind of fictionalized, some of it is literally her life and very autobiographical. For anyone that somehow has avoided hearing about this album, it's basically about her very public split from her husband, but it's not kind of just that. It's almost like a concept album that goes through the steps of it. Like, it is the full marriage breakdown album. And I know that, like, she's kind of let people into her world quite a bit, because she had this podcast that she and Mikita Oliver used to host for the last couple of years. And she was like, in that, she was very open about the fact that she and her husband were in this open relationship and stuff. And I feel like people listening to that might be like, oh, okay, like, I guess that sort of thing can work at such a, like, high profile level when the spotlight's on you so much and stuff. And then when it turned out, oh, actually, it doesn't really work like that, then we got the full kind of breakdown of it.
Yeah. And
it's like, I feel like the last kind of decade of pop music has not been really Lily Allen friendly in some ways. Like, it's been a lot more of, like, the singer-songwriters, and, like, I feel like thematically pop music has gone in the opposite direction from Lily Allen, like, for better or worse. But then now, like, there was never a better time. Like, I know this was entirely coincidental, because from what I was reading, like, her divorce was literally this year. But in the kind of years leading up to this, you know, Lola Young has come out. She's dropped, you know, songs even just this year. Like, what was that song she released this year, which was like, I Only Want One Thing?
Oh, yeah. Was it called One Thing?
I think so. Like, I know that was the chorus of it. So that kind of thing. Sabrina Carpenter over the last couple of years, who's also really been going around, like, doing slightly more risque pop music, where it's like, it's kind of, it's there's some innuendos in there and stuff like that. And she's not, like, playing it safe. And it's like with Lola Young, like her album, her biggest hit song was literally called Messy. And then even like Olivia Rodrigo and stuff, when she had like Bad Idea, right? And all that kind of stuff. Like, there are women in pop music talking about really messy relationships again. Maybe even Annie DeRusso, to be honest. And true. Like, you know, all the things C-Matt has also talked about. So like, we've got a bit of a thread going here.
Yes, yes. We love a messy moment. I love that.
And I think Olivia Rodrigo was literally Lily Allen's comeback, because a couple of years ago, in 2022, she brought Lily Allen out on stage. I forget what they were covering, but it was a Lily Allen song. Was it Smile?
Yeah. No, I think it was. Yes. So
it's
but
kind
yeah,
of been
no.
building up to her comeback.
And I've also heard that they're planning some sort of musical based off the album or something.
You're right. She's going to literally become a West End girl, because they're planning a play run in London or something like that.
Yeah. So I can't wait to see what that ends up looking like. Because like you said, it's following kind of the steps of like a breakup, a divorce, that it would definitely be an interesting musical, interesting concept for one, and great music. So
she's literally been kind of quiet musically all this time. So when the album came out, there were no live shows or anything like that that she played. It's just been the music. And I mean, it's been great music, because I think the first time I listened to it, I don't listen to her podcast. I don't really live in the world of like what's Lily Allen up to. So when I heard the album, it was just because the album had popped up on my like release kind of. This thing being like, oh, here's someone you might know who's just put out an album. I had no idea what the album was about. But then you listen to it, and even without knowing that it was specifically about her, you know, once you kind of get, like, you listen to the album in order, once you get to, like, Sleepwalking and then, like, Tennis and stuff, and then she's talking about, she has, like, this phone call, this FaceTime call at the end of the very first song, West End Girl, and you're just like, oh, there's something going on here. And then, you know, you get through the album, and it's just the details on the album that kill me every time. Where, you know, she's going through this, like, almost upbeat kind of music. Like, she's got this, like, upbeat kind of indie pop thing. She's got a bit of Afrobeats. She's got these, like, really lovely synths. Where I was like, I don't think I'd be the sort of person to listen to a Lily Allen album. But then I heard it, and it's just like, okay, play me the next song. This sounds great.
Yeah.
This sounds great. And then, like, you get through the tracks, and it's just, like, there's some songs on there. Like, obviously, the ones that have been most talked about are, like, Pussy Palace.
Yeah, that's so true.
And, like, the Tennis song about Madeline. But then there's also songs like Just Enough, where it's, like, you take away all that production. You take away all the kind of, like, gimmicks. And, like, the heartbreak of it still just stands out, where she's like, you would give me just enough hope to keep me coming back kind of thing.
Yeah. Oh, so, so good. Yeah, it's in this, like, very kind of, like, poppy, like, yeah, bedroom poppy kind of package, but it's the lyrics are just, like, very damning. Just, like...
There's this song, Dallas Major, which I think was, like, her getting, like, because I think because of their open relationship thing, she was like, let me also try it. So she was, like, getting onto the dating apps and stuff with a fake name. And she was, like, trying it, giving her description, being like, I'm almost 40. My name's Dallas Major, but not really. I used to be kind of famous. And, like, now I'm, like, almost 5'2", almost 40. Mom of teens, is that fun for you kind of thing? And it's just like, and then you think of the teens and you're like, oh my god. Just like every detail punches so hard.
Yeah, that's so true. Yeah. Oh, such a good album. I really hope that it wins some awards, hopefully. I could see it winning Mercury Prize maybe next year.
Oh, I can see it being nominated in the same way that like Pink Panther has got nominated and like
yeah.
And what else, like, musically are you looking forward to in 2026?
Oh, I'm looking forward to more Declan McKenna music. Need
Yeah.
that. I'm looking forward to the Gorillaz album and hopefully a tour.
Awesome, Gazelle.
And
Thanks so much for joining me on the show and like bringing all these albums back up to our attention.
anytime, anytime. I love to talk. I love to yap and
We
chit
love when
chat.
we yap.
I'm almost nearly 40. I'm just shy of 5 foot 2. I'm a mom to teenage children. Does that sound like fun to you? Cause I hate.
And Lana Gay is joining me on the show as we've been doing our year-end wrap-ups here on the Yellow Brick Road. Hi, Lana. How's your 2025 in music been?
Thank you. 2025 in music has been, it's been good. It's been good. There were a lot of surprises, and I think my favorite records were ones that challenged me a little and surprised me a lot.
I can see that from your picks for sure.
Yeah. So what about you?
I just think there's been a lot of good new music. Like, I've been so stuck into the newcomers that I think I've gone for a lot more kind of punk shows. And one really cool thing I've seen is that the bands that we've been following for the last couple of years have suddenly got bigger, and they've been doing like shows in like bigger concert halls and theaters, some even arenas, as we were talking about earlier.
Like Sam Fender?
Like Sam Fender.
Yes. I love Sam Fender, and I was away for that show. I'm happy you got to see it.
He's made for arenas. Like, you sit in there and you just kind of hear his anthems, and half the people are crying, half the people are singing out loud, some people are doing like an air guitar, and he's having the best time on stage. Like, you know, the artists who are on stage and you know there's no place they'd rather be, those are the best shows.
Yeah, absolutely. You can feel it, you can see it, and that energy really, there's almost like an exchange with the audience, right?
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah, it's equal parts them, equal parts you.
I love that. There's so many good shows this year, but do we want to talk albums first?
Okay, yeah, let's start with artists and albums. I actually do want to talk about the Rosalía album.
Oh, it's beautiful.
Because you've been saying that you were listening to albums that challenged you this year.
Yeah.
You would have seen this one coming.
I mean, when Berghain came out and I saw the video, I was just like, what is going... Because I really liked her last record as well, which was a completely different vibe. And I was overwhelmed. And I do find, I'm not sure if you're like this, whenever there's an orchestra or a string section, I find it very emotional. Like, I get goosebumps and I find it really impactful. Just... Everything about Berghain had me so confused and like overwhelmed. And I was like, where is she going to go with this whole album? Is it going to be an entirely kind of classically focused record, which it isn't, but definitely built around arias. And again, it's in 13 different languages I don't speak for the most part. So that when it comes to challenging, I think that was interesting. But also I was so excited to go back to an album as a concept, an album that you listen to in its entirety and it takes you on a journey. And I got my Rosalía tickets as well. I'm in the nosebleeds next year. Can't wait to see what that live show will look like. But it was a true testament to the power of music because, again, if you even can't understand the lyrics, you can feel the emotion. And it's an album that she says is a real human album. And it's something that doesn't lean on any sort of, you know, technical sampling or anything, and it was very analog.
Yeah.
And there was something about that that I felt really cut through, and obviously I'm not alone. It's one of the biggest albums
of the year,
the year, for sure, for sure.
And I wonder if she's going to tour it with an orchestra. Because
she
has been leaning into the human side of things, the fact that it's so analog, it's so kind of real. And then, you know, she's the kind of venues that she's playing as well. I think it's leaning into Rosalía plus the orchestra.
I mean, she's at Scotiabank Arena here, which is massive.
You need a big sound to fill that kind of space,
yeah.
Right?
Even though I have seen solo artists perform there. But yeah, I would say, I think and I hope that she performs the whole album as well. Not, I mean, maybe some other hits as well, but I would love to see Moto Mami for sure. But I think there's something about the record as an art piece. Even
yeah.
her album Listening Party, did you see the photos of that? In
I did
Spain,
not.
It was she took over an entire cathedral and had, you know, like floor, almost like a bed that was like 40 feet wide and covered in satin sheets. And there was, you know, satin draped curtains around this cathedral. And it was just her and everybody listening to it. But she was the only one on this giant kind of bed. It was really dramatic. and
I
fitting.
I love that.
So I wonder, yeah.
And I love that she just changed the idea of what pop music can be, because she still says this is a pop record.
Mm-hmm.
Even though it's so classical, like her voice, it really sounds like she's a trained operatic singer. I don't know if she is actually classically trained in singing, but like the way she does her voice modulations and everything, it really just sounds like she knows how to do that opera singing.
Yeah.
And she says this is a pop record.
Well, pop is just popular music. And I mean, again, back in the day, I'm sure Beethoven was pop. So why not? And it is a popular record, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm. When Björk is the less experimental of the people on your record, then you know you've done something really exceptional.
Yeah. I also love like the Patti Smith sample. Well, I guess the Patti Smith sample is a sample. But yeah, it just, again, it was one of those records that kind of caught me off guard. And it was an adventure to follow. I would say Geese was very similar in the adventure to follow, but a totally different record.
Totally different record.
Yeah, and that's on my list.
That was one that's also definitely on my list.
Getting Killed?
Yeah.
Yeah, which is also a weird album title, even though it's a title. Like, it's just like, oh yeah, Getting Killed, you like that one too? But yeah, that Geese record, it reminded me of when the first time I heard Wolf Parade's Apologies to the Queen Mary.
Okay, that's an interesting take, because people have compared him now to Rufus Wainwright, to Bob Dylan, to Leonard Cohen, to, I hear a little bit of like Velvet Underground and Lou Reed as well. I'm hearing the Wolf Parade comparison for the first time.
Yeah,
I hear about this.
There's something, I don't know, there's something, and I hear the Rufus for sure, but there's something about kind of the storytelling, the uniqueness of the vocals, but I don't know, there's something about the whole sonics of it that I really, really enjoyed. Like, I just, I don't know, I think I've listened to, what is it, Husbands a million times over?
Yeah.
And again, it really stood out compared to everything else this year.
And I mean, what a year Cameron Winter has had.
Yeah.
I don't think anybody in indie music has had a bigger year than him.
What did you, what were you into?
For me, Trinidad was like seeing Trinidad live.
Oh, I didn't see them.
We kind of had to backdoor our way into this show because it sold out very quickly.
Mm-hmm.
So there were some management emails sent and stuff like that. But when they came out, you know, I don't think I've ever seen everybody in a room as invested as they were at that show. Like, we were standing there and there was someone behind us who, before the show started, was just like, this is like seeing the Strokes at the Horseshoe Tavern in 2001.
Right? Yeah, there is that kind of energy to it. And it's hard to encapsulate what it felt like when I was younger and experiencing a lot of bands that kind of like broke my brain open.
Yeah.
And, maybe that's kind of my, like, Wolf Parade really broke my brain open when I first heard them. I was like, what is Spencer? Like, Spencer Krug's voice is really interesting. And like, there's all these different, like, you know, it was, and that was the kind of the same feeling. And I feel like that is what Geese brought to the table. And it's so nice and refreshing to see and hear people respond that way, you know?
And 3D Country was sort of the campus radio album. Like, we played it a lot at our station and stuff. And then, I mean, it started last year when Cameron Winter released his solo album. But just from 3D Country to that album, and from heavy metal to Getting Killed, the step up in his songwriting has been so good. Like, that's where all the classic, you know, rock poets or punk poet comparisons have been coming in.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and again, you have been, you know, listening to Geese far longer than I have. I truly am late on the bandwagon, for sure. This was the record that really I dove into.
Mm-hmm. So. Well, it was like that for so many people. Mm-hmm.
Lily Allen's West End Girl.
So good. Yeah.
So good. Another one that I was just like, what am I signing up for here? Whoa. And then your jaw drops to the floor.
Yeah. Another one that just came out of the blue.
Truly, it felt that way. Yeah.
Because her last album was like 7 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't her best one. The last one that she was maybe kind of, I think, Mercury nominated for was something like 10 years or maybe 11 years ago.
Yeah.
So it's been a little while, and I feel like she's never had more inspiration. Just to turn something so personal into like this visceral piece of art. Like, it was recorded in something like 10 days.
Yeah. And that's why you never date a songwriter. If it goes south, look out. You're going to have an album about you, yeah. David Harbour. What a wild trip. But also, I don't know, she doesn't really play victim. She really plays your friend who you feel for. Does that make sense? Like, it's there was this connection as everything unfolded that you are along for this journey, and it's a story that you may have heard before, and hopefully it's never happened to you, but you feel for someone who's really trying to lay it all out there, and I don't know, there's like it's so descriptive in an overwhelming way. Like, yeah. Dwayne Reed, if I ever go to the States again and buy something at Dwayne Reed, I'll be like, the Dwayne Reed bag and the handle's tight. Oh my. It was just an interesting way to deliver an emotional roller coaster.
Yeah, it feels like you're in the room as those FaceTime calls and phone calls are happening.
And I'm not shocked that it could be, in fact, turned into a musical.
It is happening in London.
Oh, so it for sure is confirmed now?
Yeah.
Okay, I believe it for sure. And I do feel a bit bad because, again, it's people's personal business out on display. I find that really conflicting. But I'm also happy that out of this horrible situation, this is the biggest of silver linings for Lily Allen, who truly was in an interesting spot in her career.
And I mean, she did say on the album herself that, you know, as long as I tell the story first, I hold on to the power. Mm-hmm. So I guess this is at least, you know, this is her narrative. And she, you know, the media don't get to paint her in that way.
Mm-hmm. And she's always been a very honest, open, kind of filter-free kind of person. So this is just taking it to a next level I didn't know we were going to get in 2025.
It just feels like she's back to the top of her game. And it's like between kind of, you know, there'll be parts of it that the press would want to pick up on as they have for years. You know, she's like the indie sleaze person who like the tabloids used to be after and all of that. But then there's the sort of second half of the album where you just feel the like gut wrench where she, you know, she does stuff tongue in cheek a lot of the time. And you think, oh, OK, this is ironic and it's like shocking in a good way. But then this time it's like, OK, none of that kind of humor is in it. Mm-hmm. And it's just gut punching.
Yeah. Oh, the double entendre of I'm just trying to be open.
Yeah.
Like the, what is that, Non-Monogamy, I think. Oh, man. Just... or Dallas Major, just trying to kind of create a new life. To also accomplish that in a sweet 10 days. Way to go, Lily Allen.
And it's just a good pop album, even putting all the themes aside.
Yeah.
So it's a great album.
Yeah, it's a true testament to if the songs can stand alone and also be part of a concept or a throughway through a musical or something that can be turned into a musical, I think that's an extra high five for sure.
Are you seeing her next year at Massey Hall?
I couldn't get tickets. I'm going to try my way. I'm going to try.
You've got to try.
I know. I hope I can interview her. I don't know if she'll do a lot of press for this record.
I feel like she said everything she
needs
to say.
Yeah, I feel like it's already out there. And the shows are sold out. There's no need for promo, but it would be nice to have a conversation. And yeah, I hope that can happen. I hope I can get myself in there for sure. Mm-hmm. I'll try my best, that's for sure. I'm almost nearly 40. I'm just shy of 5'2". I'm a mom to teenage children. Does that sound like fun to you? Because I hate. So Asupalung, I go to Winnipeg Folk Fest every year and I emcee the main stage, which is amazing because the programming, they have like five stages, maybe even more than that. And again, the variety of music is just so massive. But there's something that happens on the main stage is, do you know about tweeners?
No.
Okay, so Folk Fest usually do this thing. Well, there's never a dull moment. So when you have a, you know, the main stage has the big acts, but they require more setup, right? So while the next band is setting up, and they're doing all the gear changes. On the side of the main stage, they have the tweener or the in-betweener, the in-between band. And it's going to be a band who's playing one of the smaller stages throughout the festival, doing the workshops and all that kind of stuff. They get a slot to play four or five songs.
That's pretty good. So they get a little bit more exposure.
They get more exposure. They can, you know, tell you, well, I'm playing tomorrow at the Snowberry stage or whatever. And also, this is like a sweet greatest hit set from a smaller band who is, again, there's no bad acts playing Winnipeg Folk Fest. And so Supalung walks on stage. I'm like, hey, it's from Bristol, Supalung. They instantly dive into Mockingbird, this track that's filled with gorgeous harmonies. It feels like it was plucked right out of the 70s.
Yeah.
And truly, they're on the side of a stage with like very minimal gear and just killing it. And the crowd, you could see people like coming closer, bringing out their phones. And it's not a big phone fest, which is another reason why I love Winnipeg Folk Fest. People are really in the moment. And in a festival in 2025,